Bertie Wooster, dashing man about town here, feeling utterly spent. Why? Because after tremendous sweat of the brow, my manuscript is complete. Come in, Jeeves.
Mrs. Travers, sir, on the telephone.
What ho, Aunt Dahlia!
Yes, sir. She wishes to know what progress you've made with your article.
Depends. Can I mention gentlemen's underclothing in a woman's weekly?
No, sir.
In that case, tell her it's finished.
At once, sir.
Once you've rung off, come back. I want your thoughts on my literary debut.
Very good, sir.
Here's the sitch. My Aunt Dahlia dragooned me into penning a few authoritative words on what the well-dressed man is wearing for Milady's boudoir, the rag she publishes. Wooster, distinguished author.
Artist Ensemble Theatre presents Mysterious Journey, Theatre for the Mind. Bertie Wooster finds himself in a pickle and quite possibly under arrest. From P.G. Woodhouse, this is Jeeves and the Domestic Difficulty.
Jeeves, I have penned a masterpiece. Wooster on the Well-Dressed Man. Available to the masses for sixpence in the next issue of Milady's Boudoir.
Most impressive, sir.
Have a gander. There's a bit about socks that I think you will appreciate.
Ah, yes, sir. The sock passage is quite in the proper vein.
I think so. Keep reading. I watched him narrowly. There came a moment when the love light in his eyes faded, and Jeeves suddenly looked as if he had been bitten in the leg by a personal friend. So, did you, read the bit about soft silk shirts for evening wear?
I did, sir.
You don't agree?
I do not, sir. Soft silk shirts are not to be worn with evening clothes.
They will be.
Not by the best people, sir.
Jeeves, you may as well know, I have ordered a dozen soft silk shirts. No, no, it's no good you looking like a martyr on the rack. On this, I am adamant.
But, sir...
Adamant, Jeeves. And when a Wooster is adamant, he is... Well, adamant.
As you wish, sir.
Let us leave this painful topic and move on. Near any housemaids, Jeeves?
A great many. Are we requiring a housemaid, sir?
No, but Bingo Little is. Ran into him at the Drones Club, and he told me that Mrs. Little, better known to the reading public as Rosie M. Banks, is desperate to locate a housemaid guaranteed to go easy on the bric-a-brac.
Indeed, sir.
Apparently her current maid bashes through the fine china like an express train. Anyway, give it some thought.
Yes, sir.
My hat and walking stick, Jeeves. I must be off to hand in my article.
Very good, sir.
I just arrived at Aunt Dahlia's rather sketchy offices in Covent Garden when who should come dashing out but Mrs. Bingo? What ho, Rosie!
Why, Bertie Wooster, whatever are you doing in this part of London?
Dropping off an article for my Aunt Dahlia. She edits Milady's Boudoir.
What a coincidence! I just now promised to write an article for her.
Don't you do it! You've no notion the labour involved. Oh, wait, you do.
I do. 14 novels published with number 15 just completed.
Rosie is a best-selling author of the most ghastly, sentimental tripe ever inflicted on the reading public. Splendid! Then a trifling article should be pie for you.
Not too much trouble, especially as your aunt suggested a delightful topic.
Topping? By the way, I spoke to Jeeves about finding you a housemaid.
Oh, thanks, Bertie. I'm simply frantic. By the way, if you're free tomorrow night, come and dine with us. Your aunt and uncle will be there as well.
Delighted. That is, you do still employ that extraordinary French cook.
I certainly do. Anatole is a treasure.
In that case, I accept with thanks.
8 o'clock. Toodles, Bertie.
Tinkety-tonk, Rosie. I bounded upstairs to hand in my copy, as we boys of the press call it. There I found Aunt Dahlia up to the gills in paperwork.
Hello, Bertie. Finished your article?
To the last comma.
Good boy. Although, with my luck, it's probably rotten.
Not a bit. This is extremely hot stuff. Most of it approved by Jeeves himself.
Most of it?
Well, there's a bit about soft silk shirt that raised his hackles, but you can take it from me. They are the latest yodel of fashion.
Huh. Your man Jeeves is a washout, and you may tell him I said so.
Oh, come now. He and I may disagree on shirts, but...
I don't give a farthing about shirts. I'm talking about cooks.
Sorry?
A week ago, I asked Jeeves to get me a cook, and he hasn't found one yet.
Is Jeeves running a domestic employment agency? Bingo's wife wants him to find her a housemaid. By the way, you got her to write an article for you?
Yes, quite a triumph. Although between you and me, I can't bear her stuff. Still, hordes of women adore it, heaven knows why. At any rate, I'm hoping that her name on the cover will boost sales. Lord knows we need the help.
Milady's boudoir not doing well? I thought you said it was turning a corner.
It was. It is. But until you run a woman's weekly, Bertie, you don't know what corners are.
I thought Uncle Thomas footed the bills.
So far. I've told him it takes time to build circulation. Tom can see that in his lucid moments, but just at present he's having one of his pessimistic spells.
Digestion on the blink again?
Yes. I blame that mechanic who styles herself a cook. A few more of her alleged dinners, and Tom will stop payment on the printer's bills.
Don't say that.
I do say that. Last night's meal sent Tom into a tirade on good money going to waste with nothing to show for it, followed by moans about impending ruin.
I thought he made a colossal pile somewhere in the east.
He did. No matter. Once his gastric juices give him the elbow, he's positive we're headed for the poorhouse, and he starts threatening to economize.
At least he'll get a good dinner tomorrow night at Bingo and Rosie's.
Can you guarantee it, Bertie? I simply daren't risk him on anything wonky.
Take my word, aged aunt. Uncle Thomas is in for a gastronomic treat. What ho, what ho! Bertram Wilberforce Worcester reporting for dinner.
Hello, Bertie.
Hello, Bingo.
You may as well come in. The others are in the drawing room.
Something was very wrong. Say what you like about Bingo, but no one ever accused him of being a dull host. Why, many's the food fight started by Bingo merrily chucking his bread roll at someone. Usually me. Tonight the poor fish looked wretched, like a Borgia who's just realised he forgot to shovel cyanide into the soup and the dinner gong due any moment.
Bertie, I'm in an awful pickle. I've simply got to talk to you.
What?
Not here. Your place, tomorrow morning. Not a word to Rosie.
Everyone, dinner is served.
After that, Bingo's troubles rather faded from mind. Anatole had surpassed himself. That glorious dinner revived Uncle Thomas like a parched flower blooming beneath a gentle rain. By dessert, he was the life of the party. And still, Bingo moped about looking like an owl with a secret sorrow.
A pleasant dinner, sir?
Magnificent, Jeeves. That Anatole is a genius.
I'm pleased to hear it, sir. Mr. George Travers rang shortly after you left. He departs for Harrogate early tomorrow and is most desirous you join him.
Can't be done, Jeeves. Uncle George is a festive old bird when in London, but I'm dashed if I let myself be cooped up with him while he's off taking the cure at one of those dreadful places that claim to possess healing waters. No.
Very good, sir.
Jeeves was growing positively docile. It just proved that I'd been right in putting my foot down about those shirts. The next morning...
Mr. Richard Little to see you, sir.
What ho, Bingo?
Bertie, I'm desperate. No, don't go, Jeeves.
Yes, cluster round, Jeeves. I expect you will be needed.
Yes, sir.
Bertie, it's frightful. Unless something is done, my social life is doomed. My self-respect obliterated, and I shan't be able to show my face in London.
My aunt?
Exactly. It's all due to your blasted aunt.
Which blasted aunt? I have so many.
Mrs. Travers.
No, not Aunt Dahlia. Dash it, Bingo, she's the only decent one I've got. Jeeves, bear me out.
Such has always been my impression, sir.
Wrong! The woman is a menace to society. Do you know what she's done?
Clearly, I don't.
She's hired Rosie to write an article for that infernal rag she publishes.
Oh, I guess I do know that.
But you don't know what it's about.
What?
Me.
You?
Me! It's called The Care and Nurturing of My Husband Baby.
What the deuce is a husband, baby?
I am. The beastly piece she's written is chock full of intimate details about our married life. I am still blushing at what she wrote in paragraph 2.
What?
I decline to say. But take it from me. It's the absolute edge. Bertie, that article must not appear in print.
But...
if it does, I shall resign from my clubs, grow a beard, and become a hermit.
Aren't you pitching it a bit strong, my lad? Jeeves, don't you think he's pitching it a bit strong?
Well, sir...
I happen to be pitching it feebly. Rosie shoved the cylinder in the dictating machine yesterday and played it for me. Bertie, if that appalling swill appears in print, I shall be kidded to death by every pal I've got.
Don't you think you're...
Bertie, I realize you have less imagination than a warthog, but even you can picture what chaps will say once they see me referred to in print as half-god, half-prattling, mischievous child.
She never said that.
She did. And when I tell you, I chose that quotation because it's the only one I can bear to speak aloud, perhaps then you'll realize what I'm up against.
Good Lord. Well, never let it be said that a Worcester failed his pal. Jeeves?
Sir?
Bingo is deep in the soup, going down for a third time. Thoughts?
Yes, sir.
Already?
Yes, sir.
Bingo, the sun is shining, the birds are a-twitter, and Jeeves has thoughts.
Jeeves. If you see me through this fearful crisis, ask of me what you will, even unto half my kingdom.
The problem fits in very nicely, sir, with another matter just entrusted to me.
What matter?
Mrs. Travers rang shortly before I brought you your tea, sir, and was most urgent that I should endeavour to persuade Mr. Little's cook, Anatole, to join her staff.
Of all the cheek! That devil woman is trying to pinch our cook?
Yes, sir.
After breaking bread at our table, damn it!
When it comes to cooks, sir, I fear ladies abandon any pretense of morality.
Half a tick, Bingo. I say, Jeeves, how does this thing fit in with the other thing?
In my experience, sir, no lady ever forgives another lady for taking a really good cook away from her.
I see. No, I don't.
If I can persuade Anatole to enter Mrs. Travers' service, I feel certain that cordial relations between the two ladies will come to an end.
All-out war, I dare say.
Resulting in Mrs. Little, no doubt, declining to contribute to Milady's boudoir. Thus, we not only bring gastronomical joy to Mr. Travers, but at the same time suppress publication of the article on... husband babies.
Jeeves, if I was wearing a hat, I would doff it. This is one of your very ripest.
Thank you, sir.
Wait, dash it! Anatole is... I mean, he's one of a kind. A cook in a million.
Don't tell me you're thinking of your tummy at a crisis like this.
No, but I just... I have to... Oh, all right. Jeeves, you speak with Anatole. I'll stop by first thing tomorrow and hear your report.
Bingo popped in bright and early the next morning. In fact, the great fathead arrived at such an indecent hour that Jeeves properly refused to disturb my slumbers. By the time I awakened, he and Jeeves had already had a heart-to-heart in the kitchen. As soon as I laid eyes on Bingo, I could see that disaster had struck.
The cook pinching scheme is off.
Why?
Apparently, Anatole utterly refuses to leave us.
Why on earth not? Surely Aunt Dahlia offered more money.
Oh, she was crystal clear. The sky's the limit. Still, Anatole refuses to skid.
Why?
He's in love with our parlour maid.
You haven't got a parlour maid.
Of course we've got a parlour maid.
No, you don't. Bloke who looked like an undertaker waited table at dinner.
Oh, him. That's the local greengrocer. He comes to help out when needed.
Where was the parlour maid?
Away on holiday. But she's back now, and Anatole is so elated at her return that the contents of the royal mint could not bribe him to part from her.
Hold on. Bingo, I've had a brainwave.
You?
Certainly me. The solution is simple. I'm shocked that a brain like Jeeves overlooked it. Aunt Dahlia must simply hire Anatole and the parlour maid.
I thought of that.
Bet you didn't.
Did so?
Well?
No good. If your aunt engages our parlour maid, she'll have to sack hers.
Again, I say, Well?
If she sacks her parlourmaid, the chauffeur will quit. He's in love with her.
With my aunt?
No, with the parlourmaid. Your aunt's parlourmaid, I mean. And apparently, he's the only chauffeur your uncle has ever found who drives slowly enough.
I never realised that life below the stairs was so frightfully complex. What with domestic staff pairing off willy-nilly like characters in a musical comedy.
I know.
We appear to be more or less stymied.
No, we're not.
Really? Has Jeeves thought of another scheme?
No, but I have.
Have what?
Thought of another scheme.
You've never thought up a scheme in your life.
I have now. Look here, Bertie.
Yes?
You and I were at school together. You'll admit that.
Yes?
You'd never let down a schoolmate in his hour of need. Not Bertie Wooster.
Out with it.
Our big mistake was subtlety. It's no good trying to tackle this job in Jeeves' roundabout way. Much better to charge ahead without any silly finesse.
See here.
Just listen. This afternoon, I shall take Rosie to a matinee. I'll leave the study window open. Once we've got well away, you'll climb in, pinch the cylinder from the dictating machine, and pop back out.
Oh, no.
I know what you'll ask. Where do you find the cylinder? Answer. Top left desk drawer, where it reposes, waiting to be typed up by a stenographer.
Frightfully sorry, Bingo, but I draw the line at burglary.
Since when?
Since now. I will not break into your beastly house for any consideration.
Who are you? This cannot be Bertie Wooster speaking.
It bally well is.
But Bertie, we were at school together.
Don't care.
School, Bertie. The dear old school.
Not listening.
Bertie.
No.
Bertie.
Stop.
Bertie.
Oh, all right.
There he is. The man we've been waiting for. True blue Bertram Wooster.
Oh, shut up. The scene of the crime. I must have walked up and down in front of the house for half an hour before dashing in the front gate and sliding round the corner to the study window. Spent another 10 minutes cowering against the wall, listening for police whistles. All quiet. Right. To the business at hand. And I'm in. Bertie Wooster, gentleman cat burglar, is on the case. Now, where's the desk? Ah, over there, by the brown shaggy rug. At that moment, the brown shaggy rug sat up, yawned, and blinked at me. Bingo forgot to mention the Pekingese. Nice doggy. Time to go. It's back out the window for Bertie. Ooh, no! Oh, yeah, and I'm out. That was close. However, I think I'm in the clear.
What's all this now?
Oh, Lord. Hello, Constable. Lovely day.
Did you just climb out of that window?
He did. Told you I heard someone in the study. That's why I fetched you.
Who the devil are you?
I'm Agnes, the parlour maid. Who are you?
Never you mind. Officer, the fact is, I was merely having a quick look round the study. However, as it appears the family is not at home, I'll just...
How'd you get in?
Through the window. Old friend of the family, don't you know? So I just popped in.
Old friend of the family?
I've never seen him before.
You see here. Wait. The undertaker knows me. Aha! Ask him.
Undertaker?
Gloomy chap who was waiting at table when I dined here night before last.
There was an undertaker waiting table?
Of course there wasn't.
Well, he looked like it. No, by Jove, I recall now. He's a greengrocer.
What about it, Miss Agnes? Did your people have a greengrocer in?
Well, yes. But this fellow could easily have found that out. Look how shifty he is.
I beg your pardon?
I think you better come along with me, sir.
Wait! There's a photograph of me in the drawing room. Why is that, you ask? Old friend of the family. Ha!
I've never seen any photograph.
You would have if you were more conscientious with the dusting.
It ain't the parlourmaid's place to do the dusting. It's the parlourmaid's place to open the front door to visitors. Them that don't sneak in through the window.
That will be quite enough from you. Officer, there is a photograph of me in the drawing room, thus proving that I am an old friend of the family.
If it's there...
Oh, it's there, all right. It's there. It's not there.
Oh-ho!
Dash it, it was there night before last.
A likely story.
See here, Agnes, if not you, who does dust all the photos and bric-a-brac?
The housemaid, of course. Mary.
Aha! The same Mary who is notorious for being the worst china smasher in London. Clearly, the wretched girl broke the glass of my photograph, then cunningly concealed the evidence of her crime.
So you say?
So I jolly well do say. Ask her.
Well, Miss Agnes, perhaps you'd better fetch this Mary person.
All right, I will. Then we'll see what's what.
There was a bit of a lull. The policeman stood with his back to the door, eyeing me suspiciously as I wandered to and fro, hither and yonder.
Here now, what are you playing at?
Not a thing, officer. Just looking about. You know, old friend of the family. Another lull. I found myself by the window, and by Jove, it was open a good 6 inches at the bottom, and the world beyond was bright and sunny and beckoning. I slid my finger ever so nonchalantly beneath the sash, and then suddenly gave a hefty heave upward.
You there! Come back!
And that, Jeeves, is why I shall never do another favour for Bingo.
Well, sir...
I know I said it before, but this time I am adamant, Jeeves. Adamant.
Well, sir...
Why do you keep repeating, well, sir? It's a bit unnerving.
Yes, sir. It's merely that Mr. Little is exceedingly persistent, while you, sir, if I may be so bold, possess a yielding and obliging nature.
You think Bingo will come at me with some new harebrained scheme?
I consider it highly probable, sir.
But I can't. I was nearly arrested, Jeeves. What do you advise?
A change of scene might be judicious.
Do a bolt?
Precisely. Why not join Mr. George Travers at Harrogate? That should put you well clear of what I might term the danger zone.
How far is Harrogate from London?
206 miles, sir.
That ought to do it. Jeeves, bung a few necessaries in a bag for me.
I've already done so, sir.
It's a rummy thing, but Jeeves is always right. He told me I should enjoy Harrogate, and, to my surprise, I did. It's perfectly ducky, being surrounded by a bevy of gloomy blokes all taking the cure whilst not, myself, partaking. There was Uncle George, ordered to abstain from alcohol, and compelled to appear at the Royal Pump Room each morning at 8:30 and suck down 12 ounces of warm saline and magnesia. Ghastly. At 4 o'clock, he repeated the performance. Each night we dined together, and I would loll back in my chair, sipping my wine, while he gazed at me enviously, and listening to him grouse. In many ways, the ideal existence. I even managed fairly often to pop in and witness him choking down his afternoon dose, for we Worcesters are fond of a good laugh. It was during the second week, while I was enjoying the matinee, that I heard a familiar voice.
Bertie?
Aunt Dahlia, what are you doing here?
Came down yesterday with Tom.
Don't tell me he's taking the cure.
Yes.
And you? Surely you're not?
Yes.
Uncle George departed for a massage, leaving the two of us to catch up. So, what's the latest on Milady's boudoir? It hasn't gone bust, has it?
Bust? I should say not. It's right on its feet now. Tom gave me a couple thousand and says there's more any time I want it. Oh, and Bertie, I've bought the serial right to Lady Babcock's new book, Sensational Recollections of a Society Life.
Hot stuff?
Incendiary. Bound to double my circulation and send half the upper crust of London into hysterics for the next year.
You're pretty well fixed, then. I mean, with Sensational Recollections and Rosie's article on husband babies.
Ha! Do not mention that woman to me.
Mrs. Bingo, I thought the two of you were pals.
No more. Will you credit it? She refuses to let me have her article.
What? Why?
Spite? Some fancied grievance, merely because her cook chose to leave her and enter service with me.
Anatole left? But what about the parlourmaid?
What parlourmaid? Oh, Bertie, you're babbling.
It's merely that I understood.
You never understood anything in your life. Oh, I see why that woman made a fuss over losing Anatole. Still, she had no right to refuse me her article. Well, she jolly well can't publish it anywhere else. It was my idea, and if she tries to sell it to another publication, I shall sue. By the way, I withdraw any and all criticism of Jeeves. Very capable fellow.
Jeeves?
He oversaw the negotiations with Anatole for me. I'm that grateful. Why, if Tom coughs up a couple of thousand now, the mind reels at what he'll do once Anatole is cooking all his meals. He'll be signing checks in his sleep. Where are you going?
London. Jeeves, I'm back. Tell me all. Be as frank and indiscreet as Lady Babcock.
Sir?
Never mind if you've not heard of her. You will. Tell me how you did it. Last I knew, Anatole was madly in love with Agnes, the parlourmaid. Dreadful girl, by the way. And refused to be parted from her.
I confess I was baffled for a time, but then came a fortunate discovery.
What?
I was chatting with Mrs. Travers' housemaid, Jane, recalling that Mrs. Little was seeking a new housemaid. I asked Jane if she would consider leaving Mrs. Travers and going to Mrs. Little for an increase in wages. She agreed.
How was that a fortunate discovery?
It came out that Jane had, some time past, been a colleague of Anatole, and he, as Frenchmen are prone to do, had made love to her. In fact, they were affianced, right up until the day Anatole vanished, leaving no address.
Frenchmen.
Once Anatole learned that Jane was joining the staff, well, the prospect of being under the same roof as two young women, both of whom he had...
Bit of a tight spot for Anatole.
Anatole was out of the house and in Mrs. Travers' service within half an hour of learning that his former fiancée was on her way.
Jeeves, this is genius of the highest order.
Very good of you to say so, sir.
I do hope Bingo expressed his gratitude properly.
Indeed he did, sir. £20.
And Aunt Dahlia?
Most generous. £25.
Great Scott, Jeeves, you're practically coining the stuff.
Mrs. Little was also good enough to present me with £10 for finding her a new housemaid. And Mr. Travers...
Not Uncle Thomas, noted tightwad.
He behaved handsomely. £25. Then Mr. George Travers...
Don't tell me Uncle George forked over. What on earth for?
I'm not entirely certain. He seemed to feel that I was responsible for convincing you to join him at Harrogate, and very kindly sent me £10.
Suppose I'd better make it unanimous. Jeeves, have a fiver.
Oh, I couldn't, sir.
I insist. Fact is, I don't quite know why I'm giving it to you. Still, there it is.
Thank you, sir.
Jeeves, I am dining out. I feel like having a bit of a whirl after Harrogate.
As you wish, sir.
I say, Jeeves, did those soft silk shirts of mine ever arrive?
Yes, sir. I sent them back.
Sent them back?
Yes, sir.
Well, if that isn't... I must say...
Sir?
Of all the... You... Never mind. You know best, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
Jeeves and the Domestic Difficulty was adapted from Clustering Around Young Bingo, a short story by P.G. Woodhouse. The cast includes David A. Gingrich as Bertie Wooster, Gary Wingert as Jeeves, Margaret Rather as Rosie, Ian Garthwaite as Bingo, Linda Abronsky as Aunt Dahlia, Aaron Philpott as Agnes, and Richard Rather as the policeman. Artists Ensemble Theatre produces live theatre, and, since the advent of the pandemic, it also produces this podcast, Theatre for the Mind. Learn more, perhaps consider donating, at artistsensemble.org. Thank you for listening and supporting Mysterious Journey.